This is Orbital Nonsense,
a podcast about space magic.
I'm Lily, a witch and an astrologer.
And I'm Veda. I'm just here to ask stupid questions.
Hello. How are we? Are you as tired as I am?
Yeah, I am 3 weeks post project I was not physically capable of doing at all and did anyway. Literally still dying. Literally.
Good. Awesome. Yeah, I saw your TikTok. We're both tired, but excited, I hope, to do this again.
Yeah, I love doing this, so I hope people like it.
Yeah, same. I really hope so, too. Do you have questions prepared?
I have a deep dive prepared.
That sounds exciting. Okay, what's the deep dive?
Okay, so the deep dive is the muses, right? So mm-hmm. I have all the muses written down. They each have an asteroid, mm-hmm. and I have their asteroid number mm-hmm. for each one. And I thought that it would be interesting for people to see. So we've done this before, but like years ago.
Yeah.
For me, like, mm-hmm. I think at the very beginning of you working with like all the other asteroids, we looked at some of these. I don't know that we looked at all of them, but we looked at some of these for me. Mm-hmm. And I remember very little of that. And I remember my reaction to that being, I remember doing that. And I remember my reaction being that I was surprised by how much that we could see. Mm-hmm. So what I thought we would do this time is not only look them up and say, like, this is what it means for my chart and like blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Just so that people can see like the kinds of things that you can get. Mm-hmm. I also thought that we would do a synastry chart with you and I, since we do so much stuff together. Mm-hmm. And see how our muses talk to each other in our
Okay, yeah, I like it. Yeah, I vaguely remember that we've done this before, but it's been like it was years ago.
Like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, probably. My only question before we start is, did you write down which area the muse is for? Okay, because I can't remember. I could probably come up with all the names, but I never can remember.
I have what the names,
they're actually for
the numbers.
Awesome.
But they are the muses of, so
okay. Okay, so I'm gonna open your chart first and put them all in, probably. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so we just put all of the muses into Veda's chart. Yeah, let's just go around. Start with the first house. Here is Melpomene. Which one is she?
Tragedy. So it's really funny she's in my first house.
I mean, doesn't surprise me.
She started out that's like tragedy, like chorus songs about tragedy. Mm-hmm. And then later tragedy drama. But I think that, I mean, you're the astrologer, you can tell me, but my guess is that it's going to just be like any kind of tragedy. Also, we should point out that the reason that we're laughing is because I have a ridiculous amount of dead friends.
And we have very dark humor.
Yeah, but also, like, I'm not going to start trauma dumping, like, don't worry about it. But I usually, like, baby step people into, like, my lore because it's so ridiculous. And an example, like, so the example that I'll give right now, just so that people like kind of get it, mm-hmm. is I one time like wrote a list of anybody that I'd ever dated. And then I did the math on how many of them were deceased. And it was like, I think it was like 46% or something. Like it was, I have it in my notepad. Actually, let me find out the percentage for you because it was, like, freakishly high percentage. Yeah. That was a while ago. So, and also one of them, so I was like Googling them, like the ones that I hadn't stayed in contact with. And I was like, oh, you're dead. So, anyway. Am I going to be able to find this? Oh, yeah, here we go. Oh, sorry. 41%.
Okay, that's still... But that's still a significant amount. And that is just the people you dated.
Yeah, so that's serious relationships.
Yeah, so, and you also have lots of dead friends and...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've got
so,
lots of other dead people as well.
Yeah, so, yeah, it does not surprise me at all that the Muse of Tragedy is in your first house right next to fucking Pluto.
They're like, hey, want to hang out?
The planet of death, among other things, but that's a huge chunk of what he represents.
Yeah.
So I guess we covered that by, you know, we can laugh about it now, obviously.
I've spent a lot of time crying about it. Like,
yes, you did a lot of grieving in your lifetime.
Now I'm like, oh, I'll just write a book about grief.
I mean, who else? Who else would be able to do that?
We got to play to our strengths, dude. Like, that's all we can do. Also a medium.
Yep.
So, anyway, okay.
So yeah, that fully makes sense. Also, she's retrograde as another thing I'm noticing. So it's all like, so here's something I don't know 100% about you, but I'm gonna take a guess just based on this placement.
Okay.
That grief is a very internal thing for you. Like, you probably want to be alone when you're in that space, when you're actively grieving. You're not someone who wants to cry on someone's shoulder. You want to be left the fuck alone. You just don't. Yeah. Don't talk to me. Leave me alone. I don't need anyone to take care of me. I just want to be left alone.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
The last time I had a partner die, I literally just like didn't see any, like I talked to you and I talked to, we're poly weirdos. So also their spouse. Yeah. And so I talked to some people that were really close, but I didn't see or really interact with anybody else that didn't like live in my flat. Mm-hmm. And I lost like really like close relationships. Like,
yeah,
because I just could, I was like, I'm in a grief hole. There's literally nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So yes, that's true.
Yeah. So that makes sense because both her and Pluto also are in retrograde in your natal chart. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Next one, right next to her. Oh, that's Lilith. So that's, I mean, we can talk about her, but she's not a muse.
Can we go back really quick?
Yeah, sure.
So open up the, transits with, so she is also in, what is that? A sextile with Neptune. Or, no, at the bottom.
With Neptune. Yeah, that's a sextile. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That is one of the only bottom houses that I remember because it's about writing.
Yes, exactly. And so we've probably talked, like you and I talked about this before, but I'm just going to repeat it because people are listening. But you have Neptune in your third house of communication. Neptune is also like, I think all of your outer planets are in retrograde in your natal chart.
Yeah, they are.
So, which is another very interesting fact. But you do pretty much all of the writing that you do through channeling.
Yes.
And that is so Neptune in your third house. Like Neptune is spirituality, dreams, illusions, lies, all of those things.
Right.
And I'm not saying you're lying, but like you're...
Yeah.
There is an aspect of illusion, obviously, when you're writing a book, right? So that's what I mean.
On some level, in order
to... And also you channel deities, and some of these deities are very honest. Some of them are not.
Oh, that's true.
So
that's
right. So yeah. Another aspect of like illusion and lies.
Right.
Yeah. And that happening in your third house of communication and writing.
The book that I am writing right now about a deity whose wife dies and she is grieving her wife and blah, blah, blah. And that's, you know, mainly what it's about. She's mm-hmm. also kind of an unreliable narrator for the first, mm-hmm. for most of the book, because yeah. she is so deep in grief and she is so messy with it. So mm-hmm. that's kind yeah. of funny.
But it's interesting because like, so that all of that we've covered before in like one, yeah. at some point when we talked about your chart, but now seeing this connection over to tragedy.
Yeah.
yeah. Of course, the first book you're writing is a book about grief and death and all the dark things. yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Neptune is kind of gay. So. And your book is very gay.
My book is so gay. I don't think there's any straight people in it. I don't think there's any straight people in it.
Why should there?
I don't know any. No, I know. Straight people. I know one. Frenzy is super straight.
yeah.
He's so, straight.
yeah. Some we like some straight people, but in general, straight people are boring. So
we like a straight person. Anyway.
we like the one straight person. the one token straight friend.
Yeah. That's cool.
Okay, so the next one is this one down here. Who are you? Erato. Who is she?
Erato is, lyrical poetry and love poetry.
I could not make this shit up. Please yep. let the audience know what, besides grief, is the main subject of your first book.
Right. I mean, it's definitely about her like love for her wife and like how deep it is and about how much it fucks her when
uh-huh.
so like
so could you say that it is maybe love poetry?
Yeah, I mean also like so I've written poetry my whole life.
Oh I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean I don't really like do it for other people, do you know what I mean? Like it's not really yeah. something. So it's because typically when I journal, less these days, but like up until the last 5 years, typically when I journal, it's like, stream of consciousness and it's basically poetry. So I've written like a stupid amount of poetry in my life.
Interesting.
I just do it for myself to process. So I don't know. Yeah. So that's why you don't.
But so, fair. Yeah. but. In your third house, writing is third house stuff in general because third yeah. house is communication.
And my next two books, for sure, are definitely love focused
mm-hmm.
and kind of the Chris book
mm-hmm.
is also kind of love focused, but in a more fucked up way.
I mean, yeah, but there is the dark element because. She has a sextile to your Pluto moon conjunction yep. in your first house. So death and emotions.
Right.
So I don't think you're ever going to write a book that is just going to be happy-go-lucky and funny and lighthearted.
I'm not like a romance person. Like I'm a complicated emotions person.
yes, because you have Pluto and the moon conjunct in your first house. That is why.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
So yeah, there's that connection. That is interesting. Okay. Next one. Polyhymnia. She is some singing muse, okay.
So she is sacred poetry. So like the poetry that you write to your gods.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hymns, mm-hmm. eloquence, and then this is funny. Also, sometimes geometry and meditation.
Oh, interesting.
Well, now we're in the part of the chart where I don't know what the houses mean anymore.
that is not surprising because the fourth house is the house of childhood home, early education, and the mother.
Yeah, okay. so, abusive.
but also, it is also where we are rooted, right? Where we are rooted okay. and grounded in. where we grow from, because it is right next to the lowest point of your chart. So the meditation part immediately jumps out at me, because you do lots of meditation and specifically grounding meditation.
Yeah.
So, that makes sense that she would be in there.
So he is square. I'm guessing that other guy up here is the first house one. Yeah. Is going to be the tragedy one, right?
No, this is Lilith.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, that's somewhat off topic, but because it's not to do with art anymore. In general, if I look at the muses, I do this for, you know, artsy people, and like to figure out, like, where do you draw inspiration? What is the kind of art that, you know, you would thrive in and stuff. But this is more to do because Lilith is involved with childhood trauma.
Because
Lilith is like, has this very vengeful aspect and very traumatized aspect. And so technically when we work with Lilith, or when I work with Lilith, and I have copied that from some other astrologers who do the same, we work with the three Lilith placements. That's the asteroid Lilith, black moon Lilith, and dark moon Lilith. And the asteroid represents like the childhood or young adult version of yourself. And obviously she has been massively traumatized by the mother, right? Who sits in the first house.
So since we're talking about this, I just want to point out that so my abusive mother was also like mecca religious, and said that I was possessed and all of these things, blah blah blah, as you do, right? I just think that it's funny that the muse that's down there was like sacred poetry, like religious poetry and hymns. So it was like, take that and fuck it up. Interesting.
So that's, but that also means that you, to at least to a certain degree, draw inspiration from those experiences.
Oh, how could you not?
Like, right? So, because it's a muse. So, but also it tells you that grounding is, so if you were a client and you would want my advice for something based on your chart, right?
Yeah.
I would tell you that grounding is extremely important for you, and however you can meditate. I know that a lot of people can't like sit still for 20 minutes and just focus on their breathing, and that is valid, but meditation can also be go out into nature somewhere and walk barefoot for half an hour in nature. That is also grounding. And right, so I that would be my advice to you, but you already do that, so
yeah, I do lots of also
good job.
But also meditation isn't having a clear mind. It's the process of returning to
stuff.
So it doesn't matter if you have 1,000 thoughts and you take each one of them and be like, no, I'm going to return, because it's the act of returning. And I think that like, that doesn't really get talked about as much. So people are like, I can't do it. And we're like, literally you can.
That is true. It
frustrates you.
Yes. So. Yeah, exactly. Just, you know, you have options. So also this is interesting, this trine to your I keep mentioning this, the very gay Venus and Vesta conjunction in your eighth house in Taurus. That basically just emphasize like this whole like combination of like the square and then with the trine. You got traumatized by to you powerful woman because you were a child,
sure,
and she was your mother, and now you're kind of into powerful women, but in the healthy sense.
Oh yeah,
so, right. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was more to do with trauma than art, but.
You know, some you lose some. Okay. So
Calliope.
Right. So she is epic poetry and also eloquence.
Okay.
So I thought it was interesting that there was two muses that worked with eloquence.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the same place.
They are in the same place. And this is literally where you grow from. So my guess would be, and I only know that a little bit about you, that you were probably very eloquent from an early age. So you were probably one of those children that when you talk to adults, the adult would go, how does this child know those words? You're four or something like that, right? You shouldn't know these words.
Yeah. So I do know that about myself. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that I promise I'm not going to trauma dump, but I do not, my memory doesn't start until I'm like 10 years old. So yeah. Obviously that's in the before times and I don't remember any of that. But mm-hmm. anytime I ever talk to anybody who was around me as a child, that is the first thing that they say.
Yeah.
Or like, you were almost creepily eloquent.
Yeah. And like, that's root stuff. So you always had, I mean, obviously you were not a baby that came out of the womb and immediately could talk, but like, you always had that quality of eloquence and of being very good at communicating what was going on with you.
Oh, I have something interesting to say about this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I know that I've told you before that, like, you know, my mother obviously wanted my first word to be mama, and she tried really hard to make that happen. And that mm-hmm. was the case. That was my fourth word. but my first word was light.
Mm-hmm.
But light, which is also funny.
Uh-huh.
So not only, I just think it's interesting. So I communicated with my first word that I was not letting her have. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm trying to say? I was like pre-verbally eloquent.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly what I mean. Like you always had that. It's you're almost your lowest chart point. So it's like,
yeah,
it's very elemental to who you are.
Brilliant.
Yep. Interesting. And again, this one has a trine to your Pluto moon situation in your first house. So this always gets pulled in here, right?
Right.
So,
and then it's also talking again to my like third house, like writing tragedy.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Okay.
On the right, I'm on the right path.
Yeah, absolutely. You are. And with this one, with the Pluto moon thing, I'm taking a wild guess that you probably could talk to ghosts as a kid.
Oh, yeah. So that's the other thing that has come up in mediumship over and over and over again. So I do evidential mediumship. However, there are some pieces of evidence that come through that like we can't validate because of the type of evidence they are. But if they keep coming through different mediums, because I practice with a bunch of different mediums. So if they keep coming through different mediums that don't know each other, that didn't see it before, then you can start validating things that are unvalidatable through them coming through some of these sources. And so one of the things that I have done that with is most of my ancestral ghosts, but like I came in and they were dead before I was ever born or whatever. Or like grandparents or things that have passed or like you used to sit and have whole conversations. And I just thought that you were like really intelligent with your imaginary friends. But now I realize you were talking to my dead brother. and then like dead brother would come through and be like, I had full blown conversations with you. Blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean? So like that's actually been validated through how many different, like just huge amount of different mediums have said that to me.
That's cute.
So.
Yeah, but also not surprising.
No.
Okay, Terpsichore. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, but...
Okay, so she is dance and choral song. So I want you to look at these things and tell me what... So I have an inability to dance. I just kind of vibrate a little bit and then fall over. So you look at this and tell me why that is.
Okay.
I'm sure it's in there.
Yeah, it's I already see it. So first of all, the big thing is the opposition. Oh, by the way, for those that are only listening, Terpsichore is in Veda's sixth house in Pisces. And it's in opposition with Saturn in the 12th house. And Saturn is the big limitator. Saturn is like going, we're not doing that. No.
No.
I'm putting a limit on that. We're not the dancing type.
Yeah. People are always like, oh, you just have to not be shy. I'm like, I'm not shy. I'm incapable.
It's also funny because if it weren't for that, she's in your sixth house of the physical body and like the things we do routinely every day. So if she did not have that opposition, you probably would be a pretty good dancer.
Yes, I
but, no. But Saturn is like,
no. Not gonna do that.
And also this one, like the square with Neptune, like Neptune is like, Neptune governs Pisces, is very watery and like very flowy, mm-hmm. right? And he's in a square with her. He's also like,
we're just don't get down that way. No.
It's just so
okay.
That is funny. And also, she's in a trine with Uranus.
Oh, what's that mean?
Uranus is the rebel. Uranus is the one that goes like, we're not doing shit the way other people do them.
Yeah.
So like Saturn and Neptune are like, you're not going to be able to dance. And then Uranus puts awkwardness on top of that. And like, that's like the, I literally can't. And then I fall over part.
Yeah, it's not pretty. It's not a good thing. I mean, also, I don't care. Like, I don't want to, so it's not like I have this burning desire to dance and then I can't. I'm just kind of like, I don't know why you guys think that's fun. And also, I'm incapable of it anyway. So,
yeah. See, that's another one of those things where we are complete opposites because I literally used to be a dancer.
Yeah, Lily's like, I just want to get back to dance because dance was my life.
Yes, it literally was.
Yeah.
I have a hard time understanding when people say they can't dance because I'm like, just do it.
No.
Because I could never not dance.
Yeah.
Now the pink song is in my head. I'm not going to sing it because then people are going to tune out. Because I cannot sing for the life
of me. Like fired from that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Talia
is comedy and idyllic poetry.
Yeah, and guess what? She's in an opposition. So she's in your seventh house in Aries, mm-hmm. and she's in an opposition with your Pluto Moon conjunction in your first house. So that just emphasizes what I said earlier about you probably never writing a book that will just be lovey-dovey, happy-go-lucky, flowers and birdies. Chirping, romance, rainbows, glitter stuff. Rainbows gay, yes, but not like happy rainbows. Sad
but
rainbows.
I like queer joy, but also I like complex human emotions.
So because like she's comedy and she's like the kind of writing that is very easy, very lighthearted. And she's in your seventh house of relationships and romance. But like Pluto and the Moon are going like, no, we want depth, baby. We don't want lighthearted shit that other people can take care of that. That is not what we're doing here.
That's my black cat energy, I guess.
Yeah.
So okay. Yeah.
And she's also like conjunct your natal sun.
Too. Yeah. So she's in the trine with my tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like my dark humor and mm-hmm. stuff. Okay.
That is literally that is gallows humor.
Okay. Sweet. I got that.
Right.
On it.
So yeah, and you probably have, like, because she is conjunct to your sun, you have that. Like, I know, because you're my friend, I know that you like people and that you have friends that are, like, very girly-ish, pinkish,
mm-hmm.
right? And you enjoy that being around you because she is conjunct your sun. Like, you like that stuff.
Sure, yeah.
Just not, you don't want to be the one doing that.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah. Right? Because, you know, she's also in your seventh house of the closest relationships.
Yeah.
Right. And so you love people like that close to you.
Oh, yeah. Aliza.
Around them.
Sunshine and roses, like iridescence and pinks is like all she wants to surround herself. She's going to come on the podcast at some point. But
oh, yeah. I hope so. She's lovely.
She's very
And for anyone who doesn't know you intimately, she is your best friend, basically.
Yeah. One of them. I mean,
yeah.
I am also
your best friend.
So, yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, and best friend is definitely in the seventh house. So that fully makes sense. You want that in your life, you love it, just not, you don't want to be the one doing it. Because Pluto and the moon are going like, ah.
Sure.
Okay, next one is Euterpe.
Oh,
it sounds like I just insulted you in a very
Well, this one's funny because this is the muse of music, and we just had a whole conversation.
Mm.
I think last episode, maybe the one before then, mm-hmm. about music, but mm-hmm. so that's like, you know, a dark thing. But not dark. That's a complicated relationship.
Yeah.
But it's funny because it's like all music, but particularly flute music.
Okay. Well, but all of those subjects that we talked about in the earlier episode when we went on a journey of you and music, they show up here again, even like the placements. So your south note came up there too. And we talked about, I vaguely remember how like the obsession with music and like gossiping about musicians and like that type of energy. That is something you left behind, and like that's like past life stuff, and you've grown past that, and you're not interested in that. And she is in a trine with your south node down in your fifth,
right.
So that fully tracks. She is in a trine too with Mercury in your sixth house, though.
Okay.
So again, you worked in music.
I did,
and a huge part, I assume, of that work was communication.
Oh yeah, I mean, I literally worked on a documentary about the Slits. so
you can do it.
Yeah, I can.
You have the ability.
I've done a lot of that. Yeah,
you're just,
I just don't like to,
not interested in it. And she's also sextile Ceres in your eighth house, and we've talked about how Ceres represents the trauma that you have due to your mother and her being a reason why you are not interested in
awesome. Well
it's not that you're not interested in music, you are interested in music, but you're not interested in talking about it and spending lots of time just with musicians or stuff like that.
And I have been traumatized by, I've got music trauma, and which we've talked about. It didn't all come from my mother, but my mother was also a musician. So a lot of mom trauma coming up on today. So.
Yeah, it is. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And she's also in a trine with Lilith down here. So that pulls even more of the mother trauma in there. So that tracks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Next one is Urania.
Okay, so she is astronomy and astrology.
You can't make that shit up.
Oh, I know what this house is. This is my house of friendship. This is you.
This is me. Hi, I'm in your chart. I would bravely predict right now, you have a best friend who's an astrologer.
Well, You say you don't like predictive astrology. Are.
That is so funny. Yeah, see, those are the instances where I'm like, tell me again that astrology is just bullshit and doesn't work at all. I mean,
yeah.
That is so on the nose. It's so funny.
That's really funny.
Also, she's in a sextile with both the one we talked before, whose name I already forgot. The music one.
Right. It's because it's Euterpe.
Euterpe, right.
Euterpe. Yeah.
I'm sure that's not the actual pronunciation, but
no, I don't know how to say it.
So
like E-U-T-E-R-P-E. So whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for those of you watching the video version, the names are also on the screen. So, yeah. And Atropos, right. And I am your friend, and I really am into music.
Yeah.
Music is a big, important part of my life. I am literally married to a musician.
Yeah.
And we also, the other hobby that we share is mediumship. So,
right.
Just Atropos.
Well, and also, like, I've got loads of friends that really enjoy music and really like talking about music. I just don't really talk to you guys about it. Like, I talk to you, like, I met you through a music thing.
That is true. Right?
Yeah. And I will talk to you roundabout ways, but mostly about the complexities of the, you know, of the personalities that are involved, which,
yeah,
mostly tragedy, really.
Yes. and toxicity.
And I like, I do find those like social structures interesting to talk about. I just don't want to hear about why a band's really important and I have to listen to it and like blah, blah, blah.
yeah and I know that, which is why I never talk to you about that stuff. I have a husband bee who I can talk to that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Because they are a musician. And also another thing, she's in a trine with your Chiron series.
Oh.
Situation. Uh-huh. So we definitely share like the trauma stuff.
Mm-hmm.
and like the boundaries that come with that. And I am being approached by a cat.
Oh. Hi, Poof.
So yeah, and that also makes sense because we do share a lot of the same ish trauma.
Yeah, very awesome. Yeah. Okay. So can you see, so which one of these red lines here is why, so I obviously find astrology very interesting, hence mm-hmm. what I'm doing here, but it's so complicated. And I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm not even going to try to like learn the space magic for myself. I'm just going to ask you about it mm-hmm. all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So is that this Mercury thing?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So that is Urania. The muse for astrology, basically, being in an opposition with Mercury in your sixth house. Mercury is not just communication. We've talked about how Mercury is the big communicator, the messenger god, a lot. But another thing that Mercury governs is also thinking and like logic and all that stuff. And Mercury is like, not that. Like, I, you can't grasp it. Like, that's the feeling I'm getting when I'm looking at that. You could read 10 books about astrology, but it feels just ever so slightly out of your reach because of that Mercury opposition. It just leaves your brain.
It does. It doesn't stay. That's exactly what it is. So like while we're talking about it or whilst I'm reading whatever book, mm-hmm. whatever it is, I'm like, oh, that really makes sense. But unless I like write that shit down and like tell a bunch of people about it, I'm not gonna fucking remember it tomorrow. I mean, we did this like,
this yeah
ago, and I don't remember any of it. All new me. So
yeah.
Yeah,
that's that. And also, this is not unimportant. There's another opposition with your south node in your fifth house.
Right.
So that is also past life stuff. Like you've grown past it and you're not taking it with you. You might have actually been a really good astrologer in a past life.
Well, and that half life me is looking at this life me. What the fuck happened?
Mercury happened.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Fair. Okay.
So that is very, that was very funny to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Clio or Cleo.
Okay. She is the muse of history.
Ooh, interesting. She obviously also has that same opposition to Mercury. So yeah. You probably have that same issue when it comes to reading about history.
I do. So when I read about history or study history, I remember like how it makes me feel. And I remember the vibes of what happened. Mm-hmm. I do not remember people's names or the dates or whatever. Mm-hmm. So like, right. Okay. So I used to constantly read about, so I like medical history. I like to read about medical history. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite stories, I can tell you all about the story. He's the doctor that was like, hey, guess what? We should wash our hands. Right. And his name's and he worked in, I'm pretty sure like Vienna or somewhere like that. And he worked in a hospital that had basically where they were having babies in mm-hmm. one side and then a morgue and then the rest of the hospital on the other side. Right. Mm-hmm. And he was like, and everybody was just not washing their hands. They were just like playing with dead people, going about their business, birthing babies. Right. Like that's how.
And then wondering why the mothers kept dying.
Right. And so he noticed that, like, he's like, oh, our mortality rate, like our mortality rate for babies and mothers is higher than everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And then so he switched the rounds so that they birthed the babies first, then played with dead people, and then went the other way. And then like those mortality rates dropped. And then he was like, okay, I think that there are little animals that are so small that we can't see them that live in the dead bodies. And they are making the mothers sick. And so I think if we all start washing our hands, that would fix things. And everyone around him just fucking laughed at him mm-hmm. and like blah, blah, blah. Right. Mm-hmm. And so he was like a laughingstock, I'm pretty sure, for his whole life. And it wasn't mm-hmm. until like, you know, years later, they were like, oh, our bad. Oops. Could have saved all these lives, but we just thought you were an idiot. So like that, right? So I can remember the vibes. I can remember like more or less what happened. There's probably like a thing or two that I have like left out of that or maybe flipped around in some way. Mm-hmm. But I have read books on that man. I have watched documentaries. This is not like a passing interest for me. Like every time I come across him, I'm like, oh, let's do this again. Mm-hmm. I will never remember his name. Okay. I am 80% sure it starts with an I. I am 60% sure that was Vienna. Mm-hmm. But that might just be because of Mozart reasons. I don't know. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, so I don't remember that. So I can't, like, I think that's very interesting. And I really like about that. I really connect with and I really like dig. Mm-hmm. But I'm not ever going to be like a history major in university or anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that makes sense because this right here, right? So it's a very similar vibe to what you said about astrology, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And also the trine to your Chiron series trauma combination mm-hmm. also affects that. So I don't actually know this about your mother, but it could be that your mother was actually interested in history.
Oh, is she interested in history? Well, you know, I don't know if she's interested in history. The things that I know that she is interested in are God and straight people and Republicans and not me. And like, so
Could literally also be, though, that the fact that you have that trauma, and it is pretty severe trauma, obviously will also affect how brain and memory stuff works, right? Because trauma changes your brain. So
remember the first 10 years of my life.
Exactly, right?
Yeah. Okay. I can get.
So this, because, yeah, you know, both of these, astrology and history, are the two things where you're like, I cannot retain knowledge about that for the life of me. And both of them are opposite Mercury, which represents that, and also in a trine with your trauma constellation. So it's like,
right,
it is very likely that the trauma, like if you hadn't had that kind of trauma, then maybe that would be different and you could remember more things, because that's what trauma does. It changes your chemistry.
But also, who knows who I would be without that trauma. Also, really quick before you get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
They're also, I'm guessing that's also conjunction with Jupiter. So all of that like expanded. So is that
exactly
like a double dose of this?
Yes, exactly. Jupiter, on one hand, Jupiter is like, brings luck and like is a very fortunate planet.
Yeah.
But also Jupiter is the great expander. So he makes everything bigger. So that type of energy, gets elevated by being conjunct Jupiter.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Yep. Was that all of them? I think that was all of them.
I think that's all of them. Yeah. Okay. So now I'm very excited about the next part.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Where we do the synastry and we find out how we interact with.
Mm-hmm. So this is the synastry chart of Veda and me. Just very briefly, a synastry chart is where you basically combine two birth charts. And the program, because I don't do maths, basically calculates midpoints for all of the placements. So it basically goes like, okay, the moon in this one chart is up here and the moon in this other chart is down here. Where's sort of the middle point of that?
Okay.
The in-between point, like the halfway in there. And it does that for every placement. And then you create an entire new chart that represents the relationship of the people, the two people that it was created from.
Here's a good example of me not understanding astrology. I don't understand why that would fucking matter at all, but I don't believe you. So, okay.
I could go deeper into that, but that would...
I'm not going to get it.
yeah, I know. That's why I'm not going to. Just so the audience knows what I'm doing. So basically, this is a chart that is... not random, it is calculated, it is based on both of our birth charts, but it's an entire new chart that represents the relationship that we have with each other. So, okay, let's check out where the muses are in here. This is Terpsichore. See, I already forgot.
So she is dance and choral song.
Dance, right, okay. It's interesting that she's in the second house of resources and I'm a dancer and you're not. But it is how I used to make money. Oh, here's how that sort of makes sense. We also share sex work.
Yeah.
Like we share a history of, so we've both done sex work is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And like that is another thing that we often talk about that is sort of important to both of our lives, that we, you know, sometimes bond over and connect through, I guess.
Very much not a dancer. I was a dominatrix.
Yes.
But I have lots of friends that were dancers, not even just you, but I mean, but obviously we're looking at our synastry. But
yeah. So
that makes sense.
But yeah. And that was literally a resource for me because that's how I earned money. So that's interesting. Okay, next one.
Arato, lyrical poetry and love poetry.
I mean, that is the one that does a lot of your, that had to, a lot to do with your writing. And
yeah.
Well, that is, I don't want to brag, but... kind of a resource for you when it comes to
you're
that.
You're definitely a resource. That is not even a brag. That is just a statement of fact.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, another one of my hyperfixations is mythology, as people might have noticed by now because I keep referencing it.
Yeah.
And you always ask me mythology questions.
Yeah, because I am writing books that are based on mythology, despite it not actually being, like, it's my thing and that I like it, but it's never been a hyper focus of mine. And so I will get information that comes through. And so I'm like, okay, I know what this deity looks like. Here's a random fact. I know that there is something to do with a hedgehog. And this is how they acted when they were talking to this other deity. And I'm like, who is it? And you're like, 100%.
That's Baba Yaga.
That's Baba Yaga. Yeah. So, yes. So I had a scene where I was like, oh, Persephone is telling a Baba Yaga and hedgehog joke. And you're like, well, see, the reason for that is... So it always gets validated, through you. And also, like, I look up other resources as well, but, like,
yeah,
you really valid. I don't think I've ever had anything come through and you're just like, nah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I have said before that I'm like, that's a little too vague. It could be like this one or this one or this one.
Yeah.
Or like, but
then when you I'm do gonna- that, as soon as you like, list the one that it is. So like you'll go, it might be this one. And I'm like, nah. And then you're like, it might be this one. And I'm like, And you're like, it might be this one. I'm like, absolutely 1000% it's that one.
Yeah.
And when I get more information, you're like, oh yeah, that does track for that.
Yeah.
Deity.
So. Yeah. So that makes sense. That is an important part of our relationship. Yeah. That was that one, right? Yeah. So next one, Talia.
Talia is comedy. And idyllic poetry.
Mm-hmm. And fourth house, and like she was in your seventh house, right? Yes, right.
Yes.
She was in your seventh house, and she was opposite your Pluto and Moon. But in our relationship, like, we laugh all the like. I mean, listen to this podcast. We literally laugh about death, and grief, and like,
yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So laughter and just joy and comedy that is right next to the IC. So it's like, it's where our relationship is. That's the foundation of it. That makes sense.
That tracks.
Because yeah, we can always find the humor even in like sad and tragic stuff. And toxic stuff too, like the amounts of people of times we've talked about like toxic people, and you've taught me boundaries.
I love a boundary.
How to uphold them. I'm getting there. And then we laughed about what I did a year ago and how fucking stupid that was.
Ooh, yeah. Like, there are sometimes when we are talking about boundaries and we're like, okay, we've now talked about this so much, I get it, blah blah blah. And then, like, 3 days later, I'll be like, right, so I was thinking about this weird situation you were in. Walk me through your thought process on this, because I don't get it. And then it just starts all over again.
Yep. Yeah.
So, okay.
But it's fun. Like, even talking about the heavy stuff is still fun. So, yeah, for sure. That makes sense.
We went on holiday together and talked about it loads.
So. Yep. We did.
Brilliant.
Okay, so Calliope.
Yep, so she is epic poetry and eloquence.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and she's in our fifth house.
Okay.
The fifth house.
Games?
Yeah. Yes!
I remember.
Good job! You remembered. Yeah, that's fun in games. Again, that's your book writing stuff is like, obviously, yeah. I mean, I guess it's fun for you too, but it's also very deep. But for me, it's mostly just fun. And, and like, also, I am a big reader and I am super excited to be reading that book, which I've been telling you ever since you told me about the idea. I'm sitting here going like, yeah, write it. I want to read it.
I know, but like, it's my first book, right? So like,
yeah.
Up until now, I've been like, I've been working on it, but also I've been just learning how to write a book. And so now I'm like, okay, now I have figured out a bunch of stuff and now it needs a whole rewrite. So like,
yeah. And I mean, I never pressure you, but I feel like you also know that I'm very excited about that.
You've made it clear. Yeah.
Yeah. But she's also in a trine with our moon up here.
Okay.
So like, yeah, things are fun and, you know, joyful and easy and lighthearted, but we apply that to the deep shit too.
Yeah.
Again. So we can talk about deep emotional stuff. Like toxic people and trauma and all of those things.
Yeah.
And still make jokes about it. So.
Fantastic.
That tracks.
Yes.
Okay. Next one, polyhymnia. Oh, she was the hymns one, right?
Hymns, sacred poetry, eloquence. And then she's also the one that sometimes geometry and meditation.
Right. So meditation is something that we sort of share, right?
Yeah.
And it's like the getting in the routine of stuff because she's in our sixth house.
Yeah.
So that tracks. And then also talking about that kind of stuff because she is in a sextile with Mercury down in our fourth house. So communication and thinking and the way we think and the way we like mentally process stuff is also a foundation for the relationship that we have. So that tracks.
True.
And that sextile just pulls those kind of topics in, which makes sense. We talk about like meditation a lot. And we also talk about like religion and like,
yes,
you know, spiritual trauma and that kind of stuff.
So, and also the times that we have done meditations together, they've been like massively interesting and productive. Mm-hmm. And like, so is that trine with Neptune?
Yes. So here is the trine with Neptune in our second house. And like, obviously spirituality is a big resource for the relationship that we have. And we talk about that shit all the time. We literally made a podcast about it, about us talking about spirituality.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And apparently, I mean, she's the muse of eloquence. So I guess we are being very, very eloquent about it.
Well, I hope so. I mean, our listeners can let us know. Hopefully we have those and you guys are enjoying it. So.
There's also that opposition though to Pluto and Saturn in our 12th house.
Okay.
That is interesting because we do also do lots of mediumship stuff together.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you've ever felt like a limitation there or like restrictions or anything like that, specifically when it comes to communicating with me.
On a mediumship way?
Mm-hmm.
No. let me think. No? So we do mediumship like at least once a week, I would mm-hmm. say, together, and often more than that. Mm-hmm. No, I don't really... So I do remember... Okay, so with me going through mediumship, so I don't know if this counts or not, so I'll just mm-hmm. talk about this and you can tell me what you think.
Okay.
So with mediumship, before I went through development, I had a bunch of like one-off things. I didn't count them as mediumship because I'm like, but those are my dead people. So like, I had things where I'm like, oh, I literally saw this with my physical eye, which is... kind of a huge thing, but I wouldn't say that, like, other than that, I wouldn't say that mediumship like was just, it wasn't like a thing that was happening all the time. I went through development in order to like
mm-hmm.
get it, and I had to like work at it, and like, I'm not saying it was like particularly hard. Mediumship development's not particularly hard, but I did like, I was very structured about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember when you started doing it. So you've never gone through development. We've just given you like a space to practice, right?
Yeah.
So I'm always like, well, I will show up and be the person that you practice with. But you are so fucking just good at it. And you have been since like day dot. And then also like just accidentally learned transmediumship from dead people without like meaning to even. So your mediumship was just insanely good from the get go. And so I do remember, like, I never didn't talk to you about mediumship, but I do remember me going like, okay, I want to get a little bit better at it before I practice with you.
Okay.
So there was a while where like I was a practice space for you, but I didn't read you very often. And like, that didn't last for very long. I would say that was like my first like year of it or something. Something like that. But maybe that's what that is. Because otherwise I don't know. Because we talk so much.
It could be that while you were talking, I also had a somewhat revelation. It could also be because of the like trine to Neptune there that is also playing into this whole dynamic, right? It could be the fact that we both didn't start out as super spiritual people, quite the opposite.
Oh, we both started out as atheists.
We were both, like, when we met, we were both atheists.
Yeah.
And then pretty much simultaneously had a spiritual awakening.
Yeah. Majority of the time that we've known each other, we have both been atheists.
Yeah. So that could be that dynamic because, you know, Neptune is spirituality. And what?
I guess half now. It's not the majority anymore. Because now it's, I just, time is.
Yeah, we've known each other for more than 10 years.
Yeah.
Probably close to 11.
I know I knew you before the birth of your son, who is 10. Yes. So.
Yeah. So, but we've also been spiritual probably for 5-ish.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, yeah, about half. but that could be that because Saturn, you know, puts limits and restrictions and stuff,
right?
And obviously that kind of energy would have restricted the way we talk about spiritual stuff. Does that make
sense? Yeah that makes more sense than what I said.
I mean these things can always like represent several things all at once, right? Yeah. Because it's a type of energy. So yeah. That was interesting.
That was interesting.
Euterpe, who was she again?
She's music.
Music, right. Okay. Well, she's in the 8th house of sex work.
Right? Okay. That's funny.
Which, yeah, that is funny. But also, she has an opposition to our south node. So it's not something that we share in this life. We might have shared that in a past life.
Okay.
But that's just not, that's not something we do nowadays, which is really ironic because we literally met through a musician. But
yeah. Yep.
But also opposite Uranus, and like Uranus is still going like, let's maybe not do that. Also now my cats are fighting. I don't know if you could hear that.
I couldn't hear it. So that's okay.
Okay, good. Yeah, so that's interesting. And another like hint at like, you know, the sex work being a thing. Okay.
Why would the muse of music specifically speak of like sex work connections?
Because I used to be a dancer, and part of me being a dancer is, you know, sex work. And music and like, so it's like, it's like interconnected, and the eighth house, like sex work is definitely in the eighth house.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's the music muse in the house of sex work. And
right.
Yeah.
Right. I just wasn't thinking about it because obviously sometimes we would play music in the dungeon, but it's not like the thing that we're doing. So
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fair. Okay. Urania. I also forgot what she was. Oh, she was the astrology one, right?
Astronomy and astrology, yeah.
Yep. She's in the ninth house of our beliefs, the way we view the world, of higher education, of travel, and like foreign cultures.
Mm-hmm. We've spoken about using astrology to fund travel. So interesting. Okay.
Yep. Yep. Uh-huh. And yeah, and it's also very close to the highest point of our chart. So it's like, it also has that aspect of this is where we grow towards.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. Also, this trine to Uranus in our first house, we do it differently. And I feel like this podcast is very different and it's about astrology. So, right? There's that aspect of rebellion and uniqueness.
Okay. Yeah. Cause we don't take it seriously and I'm asking you stupid stuff.
Yeah.
That's hopefully interesting to more than.
But also I just want to point out this sextile to Jupiter, the big lucky expander. So, I want to predict now that this podcast is going to blow up and we're going to become rich and famous.
I don't want to be famous.
No, me neither. But, but I mean,
sure. I would like to do well with this. Yes. Like, you know, that's the point of it or whatever. I just don't. Yeah.
I would like people to actually listen to this because I think it's entertaining and I want to entertain people. And
same.
While maybe educating them like a little bit.
Well, the reason that I wanted to ask about this specifically is I thought it would be interesting for people to see the kinds of things that you could see with this specifically. So that's like vaguely entertaining or educational.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's very entertaining and vaguely educational.
Yes. Okay. Clio.
Right. History.
Ooh, that's interesting. She's like so on our MC.
Okay.
I wonder what that is.
Oh, get your predictive hat on. You tell me some things. You can do it.
I mean, she's also opposite, like, obviously, because it's our foundation, like Mercury and Ceres.
Okay.
So this axis, specifically, like the IC, which is the lowest point of the chart, MC, which is the highest point of the chart axis, is like, it's also called sometimes the growth axis. So it's like, this is the roots, this is where I'm growing towards. So this would be the crown of a tree and the roots of a tree, right?
Right.
So I don't know, maybe we're supposed to do something historical. Maybe the stuff we do is historical and we're gonna go down in history as the astrology weirdos.
Okay.
I legitimately don't know.
Okay. Well, let me see how this grabs you.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure that the next book that I'm writing is Marianne's story, which is based off of a trance session that we did with like a past life version of me who was also definitely a fucking lesbian and had this really sweet romantic story born out of some deep, dark trauma with her wife and blah, blah, blah. But the reason that I'm bringing it up now is that like that will technically be historical fiction because she lived in, I think she was like born in like 1730 or something like that. Like I'd have to look it up. I have it in my notes and stuff. But I wonder, do you think that would play any part here?
It might, because Cleo is in a sextile with Pluto in our 12th house. So Pluto is definitely mediumship and like death and past lives and rebirth and all of those things.
Okay.
So it could be that, and that maybe is going to become like a bigger aspect of both of our lives, or the relationship that we have, or
well, another reason that I thought that it might have to do with that is because so far we've done 2 trance sessions with, mm-hmm. we did one with her and one with her wife, mm-hmm. to like get the initials of their stories. But in the planning phase, we're going to have to do a lot more trance. So that's you going into trance and me, mm-hmm. like interviewing past Leslie, you know, and then we were like sharing the research and it all checked out, which was wild.
That is true. But, yeah.
So that really is kind of like the book I'm working on right now. You help me a lot with, but this will be even more of a joint effort. So that's why I thought maybe
it might be that. And obviously, like, it might just be the case that I can't tell yet, because that is future stuff, because,
sure,
you know, the MC is the highest point that could just be in our future. And
we've only just begun, babe.
We're still so young. Although I feel so old.
Yeah.
So, that could be it. And also, you know, sometimes I'm only human. Sometimes I just miss things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't have to know
anything. I am not all knowing. No. So, unfortunately. Actually, I'm quite happy that I'm not all knowing. I think that would be very frustrating. So.
That'd be quite the cross of error, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are back to tragedy.
Oh, right. She was the I mean, yeah. She's in our 12th house of mental health, right next to Pluto and Saturn. Awesome. So death is something we share. Grief is something we share. Boundaries is something we share.
Yes, we have a couple of the same dead friends.
We do that too. Yes. And it's all in the 12th house of, again, like mental health stuff. And this is the stuff that is not on the nose.
Yeah.
So people that know the both of us and that like know the friendship that we have, might not immediately see those parts because we are incredibly funny. we laugh a lot and like, that is deep shit.
Yeah.
Right. That is like, not everyone is going to immediately know that about the relationship that we have and be able to see that, that actually we are very deep.
Depths of the ocean, babe. And we've got this, sextile, I think, with Neptune.
Yes.
Depths of the ocean.
Yeah, literally. And, you know, spirituality and all the stuff. We talk about, like, there's the trine to our Mercury in the 4th house. That is the stuff we communicate about all the time, through lots of different mediums too. Like, we do it on this podcast now. We do it when we see each other in person. We do it on Zoom calls. We do it on messages. We do it like everywhere.
We have a mediumship home circle.
Yep.
And, mm-hmm. you know, just all the things.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
what's this, what's it mean where it's talking to the, Mars and the North Node?
Oh, so Mars is passion and energy. So we have passion and energy for these subjects. And that tracks, like, boundaries. The Saturn part is literally one of your passions, and you have taught me so much in that regard. And then mediumship, which is like the Pluto part, is like both of our passions. But like, I started doing that because you started it. So you got me into that.
Yeah.
And then the tragedy part, we share a lot of the same kind of trauma, a lot of the same grief, because we literally share dead friends.
Yeah.
And that's sort of, Mars is like an energizer, right?
Yeah.
He like pours an energy into those aspects of our relationship, like energy and passion and fire and heat.
Brilliant.
That sounds so sexy. And the North Node is, again, she's like the opposite of the South Node, where the South Node is like past life stuff and the stuff that you're supposed to leave behind. The North Node is the stuff that you're supposed to do in this life. This is your job right now.
We're supposed to grow together in this spiritual thing born of death and tragedy and rebirth.
Woohoo! Really? Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, that was the last one.
That's super interesting. I thought that was going to be fun, and it was, and I thought it would be insightful, and it was. So hopefully that helped also inspire some people that were listening to this that haven't thought to look up the muses in their own charts and and see, because I think it's like you can get a shocking amount of information. That's how I think about all of astrology. You can get a shocking amount.
Yeah, like it was very obvious. Like a lot of what we talked about was related to writing and artsy things. Mm-hmm. But there was also a lot of stuff that had nothing to do with what you would think muses represent, like you know, trauma and grief and all of those things. And and also I feel like this was a good example of why I like playing around with the asteroids in general, not just muses, but just in general, especially if you're interested in mythology at all. And there's like either a deity or a figure from mythology that you feel connected to, that you maybe work with, if you do deity work at all. It's so interesting and insightful to just check out, not all of them, but a lot of them have asteroids.
At this point,
see where they are in your chart.
Yeah.
And it tells you how to best work with them, how to include that type of energy in your life. And it's just, It just adds so much value to astrology. That was rant. Sorry.
Well, at this point, I get like annoyed when they don't have one. Like, like I was like, oh, Lethe's in my book. Let's look. And she doesn't have one. And I'm just like, she deserves one.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But because there's so many asteroids, I want to say most of creatures, figures, deities from mythology. Obviously, white mythology, because that is unfortunately a thing.
There is some others, but just really cherry picked.
Yes.
So it is definitely like there's definitely some racism.
Oh, there's a lot of racism. Yeah.
But also sometimes it's just people's first names or people's last names, like a fucking Pattinson's asteroid. But there's an asteroid that's called Silver, there's one that's called Money, there's like, so sometimes if you're just like, I have, oh, there's tons of them about writing. I think there's one that's just called Writing, like but there's definitely ones that are named after, you know, famous writers and like whatever.
Yeah,
so it can literally be like, I am thinking about this thing. And if you just like type that in and asteroid, chances are you're going to be able to find something that is going to tell you more.
Yeah. And depending on what kind of software or website you use, here's a resource that I'm going to share. If you want to look up your own chart and you don't know where to go, go to astro.com. You can put your birth info in there and you get your birth chart literally for free. You don't have to pay anything. And also in there, you have the option to put all the asteroids in. If you like, it's a little fiddly to figure out how the website actually works and how to do that. But there's information about that out there. If you want to find it, you'll find it. And then you can put all the asteroids, any asteroid that exists, you can put in your chart and you can see where that is, and you can do it completely for free. So
yeah that's cool. I mean, I just ask you.
Fair.
But some people, you know, don't have access to do that, but so
not all people in the world have access to me, indeed.
That's true, because exhausting. So, so also, this is probably the point in which we should say that we're going to have a special guest on our next
episode. Right. Yes. So next time we're going to have our friend, Alyssa.
The musical medium on TikTok, but also she's in our home circle. So
yes. And you two have been scheming behind my back.
Yeah.
With my permission.
Well,
to figure out what she'll ask. And I'm really excited about that.
She's got good questions. Like we've already talked about that. We only scheme behind Lily's back because I like it that she doesn't know what we're going to ask before.
Yeah, I think it adds to the fun of it. And I also think it adds to, I don't know, somewhat to the validation of it because I'm doing this on the go. Like I can't I'm not practicing any of this because I don't know what you're going to ask me. I'm just pulling all of it out of my ass. Basically.
Absolutely.
On the spot. So.
Yeah. But one thing. So I want to just say a couple things about Alyssa. She is great. She's a fantastic medium. I have. So she's a professional medium that does really great readings. I've been in spaces with her for several years now. And one of the things that I really appreciate about her is she feels really strongly that, like, if you're a professional medium, like, development should never stop. So she stays in development spaces. She makes it an absolute priority to practice with us once a week for sure. And then I think she's got somebody else that she practices with most weeks, if not every week. So she's just great. She's really evidential. She's really professional. She's fucking hilarious. Oh, she's also straight.
Right. She's another token straight friend. Straight
person. So she's got a gay sister, a gay twin sister. But she is a straight person. And so like sometimes she'll be like, I wanted to date with this boy. And I'm like, ew, okay.
she does TikToks. She does great TikToks too. Mostly about mediumship. But just today, I also saw one where she talked about dating as a medium and told an awful story about some random dude. And I sat there and I was like, was it girl, the why? What?
Was it the cheese beard guy?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So here's another funny thing about when you have psychic friends. So one of the home circles that it just ended up being me and her, because Heidi wasn't coming to our circle yet and you were not there that week for whatever reason. She was telling me that story. I think she had like just gone out with him, but before she told me the story, she was like, can you look into the energy of this guy? And I was just like, bleh. Right. And so like, I was like, sure. And so I was like giving her all of my psychic impressions and they were all like fucking hideous. Like they were all so bad. And I was like, man, I just really hope you don't like this guy because it's just gross. It's like all of it's bad. And she was just laughing. And like, let me tell you, here's what I got. And then here's the story of it. And so, yeah. So you should know that if you're going to like date a psychic is probably them and their psychic friends are going to be having these conversations.
Yeah, we're going to see right through you.
Yeah.
And your gross behavior. And we're going to talk about it behind your back.
A lot, yeah.
A lot.
There's been other times.
Make fun of you.
And I'm like, not that one. Maybe this one. Definitely not. So, yeah, it's funny. Anyway, yeah,
we love Alyssa and we're really excited to do an episode with her.
Yeah, for sure.
She'll be our first guest.
Our first special guest.
Yes.
Okay, brilliant. I think that's it.
Yeah. Okay. So do all the things, leave comments, reviews.
I listen to enough podcasts that I know, please rate and review and subscribe. All of them mean a lot in this.
Yes.
And like help wherever we're on so many different we will be on so many different platforms.
Yeah.
So some of them will let you rate and review. Some will let you subscribe. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So please do.
yeah, check out our YouTube, check out our TikTok, check out all the places.
All of the, there'll be a list. Wherever you're watching, slash listening to this, there will be a list.
Somewhere down there.
Yeah.
There.
We'll figure it out. All right. Okay.
We are professionals, people.
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Bye.